Welcome to Zichron Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechon Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the young students came to the Beis Midrash and said things the likes of which were not even said in the days of Yeshua ben Nun regarding the meaning and shape of the letters, the Aleph Beis. For example, Aleph and Beis stand for Aleph Bina, learn Torah, according to Rashi. Gimel and Adalet stand for Gomel Dalim, help the needy. And the leg of the Gimel in a Sefer Torah is extended specifically towards the Dalet because it's the way of the one who bestows kindness to run after the Dalim. And the leg of the Dalet is extended towards the Gimel to teach that the poor person should make himself available to his benefactor and not make him chase after him. And then skipping a few letters, Samach Ayin stands for Smoch Anim, support the poor. Another explanation is Simanim Asi B'Torah Ukneosa, make Simanim for the Torah and acquire it. Point number two, the student said the reason why the letters of Sheker are juxtaposed and the letters of Emes are spread out is to teach Shikra Shchiach, falsehood is common, while Kushta Lo Shchiach, truth is not common. The Maharal explains that Sheker is always close at hand, but Emes is hard to come by. The students also explained that the reason why the letters of Sheker stand on one leg, meaning the letters Shin, Kuf, and Resh, all have one small base at the bottom, whereas the letters of Emes are set like bricks, meaning Aleph, Mem, and Saf, all either have a two-sided base or a wide base, is to teach that Emes stands while Sheker cannot. In point number three, the Gemara seeks to identify the Tanna Brisa that taught that if someone wrote one letter and thereby completed a Sefer, and Rashi says it's one of the 24 Sefrei Tanakh, or wove one thread and thereby completed a garment, is Chayiv. Rabbi Rav Huna said it's Rebbe Eliezer who says in the later Mishnah that one is Chayiv if he adds a thread to a previously worn garment. Ravashi says that the Braitza could even be according to the Rabban who exempt a person from adding one thread because completing a garment or a book here is different because it's considered a significant amount. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Rabban said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that young students came to the Beis Midrash and said things the likes of which were not even said in the days of Yeshua ben Nun regarding the meaning and shape of the letters of the Aleph Beis. For example, Aleph and Beis stands for Aleph Bina, which Rashi understands, learn Torah. Gimel Dalet stands for Gomel Dalim, help the needy. The leg of the Gimel in the Sefer Torah is extended specifically towards the Dalet because it's the way of one who bestows kindness to run after Dalim. And the leg of the Dalet is extended towards the Gimel to teach that the poor person should make himself available to his benefactor and not make him chase after him. And then skipping, Samach Ayin, Smoch Anim, support the poor. Another explanation is Simanim Ase B'Torah Ukneosa, make Simanim for the Torah and acquire it. Point number two, the student said the reason why the letters of Sheker are juxtaposed and the letters of Emes are spread out is to teach Shikra Shchiach, falsehood is common, while Kushta Lo Shchiach, truth is not common. And the Maharal explains that Sheker is always close at hand, but Emes is hard to come by. And the students also explained that the reason why the letters of Sheker stand on one leg, meaning the letters Shin, Kuf, and Resh all have one small base at the bottom, where the letters of Emes are set like bricks, meaning Aleph, Mem, and Saf, all have either a two-sided base or a wide base, is to teach that Emes stands while Sheker cannot. And point number three, the Gemara seeks to identify the Tanna of a Braisa that taught that if someone wrote one letter and thereby completed a Sefer, and Rashi says we're referring to one of the 24 Sefrei Tanakh, or wove one thread and thereby completed a garment, is Chayiv. Rabbi Rav Huna says it's Rabbi Eliezer, who says in a later Mishnah that one is Chayiv if he adds a thread to a previously worn garment. Ravashi says the Braisa could even be according to the Rabban who exempt a person from adding one thread because completing a garment or a book is different because it's considered a significant amount. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Kuftal. We had a lot of different suggestions. We had golf caddies. We had a lot of brands. Kodak Camera, Cadillac, Ketem Grape Juice, Cadbury Chocolate, Kids. We had Genius Kids, Karate Kids, Cows Chewing Their Cud, Giraffes Chewing Their Cud. We had Cod the Fish, Kidney Donations. Rabbi Eli Storch from Woodmere suggested Cadence in the Peloton. But the most popular choice was codes, some form of codes, Morse code, computer code. Adam Bookman from Manchester suggested nuclear launch codes. So we're going to go with codes as a sim for Kuf Dalet. So thank you, everybody. There are many people suggested some form of code. So thank you all. So the sim for Kuf Dalet is code. So here goes. To crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words Emes and Sheker and then choose the right letter to complete a Sefer. So once again, in slow motion. To crack the code, that means we're on Daf Kuf Dalet. To crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, which reminds us, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the young students came to the Beis Midrash and said things the likes of which were not even said in the days of Yeshua ben Nun regarding the meaning and shape of the letters of the all base. For example, all of base means all bina, learn Torah, according to Rashi. Gimel Dalet stands for Gomel Dalim, help the needy. And the leg of the Gimel in the Sefer Torah is extended specifically towards the Dalet because it's the way of one who bestows kindness to run after Dalim. The length of the Dalet is extended towards the Gimel to teach that the poor person should make himself available to his benefactor and not make him chase after him. And then skipping, Samach Ayin stands for Smoch Aniyim, support the poor. Another explanation is, Simanim Asibator Ukneusa, make Simanim for the Torah and acquire it. So to crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words Emes and Sheker, which reminds us, the students said the reason why the letters of Sheker are juxtaposed and the letters of Emes are spread out is to teach Shikra Shchiach, falsehood is common, while Kushta Lo Shchiach, truth is not common. The moral explains that the Sheker is always close at hand, but Emes is hard to come by. The students also explained the reason why the letters of Sheker stand on one leg, meaning the letters Shin, Kuf, and Resh all have one small base at the bottom, whereas the letters of Emes are set like bricks, meaning Aleph, Mem, Tav, all have either a two-sided base or a wide base, is to teach that Emes stands while Sheker cannot. So to crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words Emes and Sheker, and then choose the right letter to complete a sefer. Which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to identify the Tana of a Braisa that taught that if someone wrote one letter and thereby completed a book, and Rashi says it's one of the 24 Sifrei Tanakh, or wove one thread and thereby completed a garment, he is chayev. Rava Bar Rav Huna says it's Rabbi Eliezer, who says in a later Mishnah that one is chayev if he adds a thread to a previously worn garment. Ravashi says that the Braisa could even be according to the Rabbanan, who exempt a person from adding one thread, because completing a garment or a book is different because it's considered a significant amount. So once again, to crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words Emes and Sheker and then choose the right letter to complete a sefer. All right, so now it's time for our four blot back Hazara. Dav Kuf. So the symbol for Dav Kuf is a monkey. So here goes. The curious monkey. Monkey, that means we're on Dav Kuf. The curious monkey threw his banana towards a pit filled with water, not fruit, which reminds us, Abai said that if there was a pit in Rosh Hashanah that was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, meaning it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and it's full of water, and someone threw an object into it, he's chayev. However, if it was full of produce, he is pater. The Gemara explains that the water in the pit does not nullify its mechitzas, its partitions, whereas the fruit does. And Rashi explains that in the case of the fruit, it's as if the pit is filled to its top with earth. So the curious monkey threw his banana towards a pit filled with water, not fruit. When a strong wind blew it back out to sea, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that if one was standing in Rosh Hashanah, he threw an object within 4 amas, but it was propelled by the wind to a point beyond 4 amas, he's pater. If he threw the object beyond 4 amas, and the wind blew it back to within 4 amas, he's chayev. The Gemara asks how the thrower in the second case can be liable if the object never came to rest outside of Dalet amas. Rabbi Yochanan answers that it rested briefly, and a braisa supports Rabbi Yochanan and states that one would be liable even if the wind held the object in mid-air for a moment, provided the object was within 3 tefachim of the ground, where the principle of chavud is operative. So the curious monkey threw his banana towards a pit filled with water, not fruit, when a strong wind blew it back and out to sea, where a ship was drawing water on board with a bucket. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes HaMaharim regarding how one may draw water from the sea on board a ship on Shabbos. Rav Huna said that one may extend a small rod from the ship and fill a bucket of water and bring it on board. Rav Chista and Rava Bar Rav Huna said that one may make an enclosed area for tefachim over the water and fill the bucket through that area. And the Gemara explains that according to Rav Huna, the 10 tefachim height of a carmelis at sea is measured from the floor of the sea. Therefore, the part of the sea that is above those 10 tefachim is a makom patur. It's therefore permitted to draw water from the sea into the boat, which is a rishus yachid. The rod only serves as a heker, as a reminder that it's forbidden to transfer from a karmelis to a shusi yachid. According to Rav Chizn and Rabbi Rav Huna, the 10th tefachim of a karmelis is measured from the water's surface, and therefore if one would draw water from the sea to the boat, he's bringing water from a karmelis to a shusi yachid, which is forbidden. Consequently, water needs to be drawn through a 4 tefachim wide enclosed area. Daf Kufalf. So the symbol for Kufalf is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller who could only carry his cawing raven. Bird caller and a cawing raven, that means we're on Daf Kuf Aleph. The bird caller could only carry his cawing raven Dalet Amos in the small boat from Meishan, which reminds us, Rav Huna said that in the small boats of Meishan, which was a small river that only small boats could go on, one may only carry Dalet Amos because they have the status of a carmelis. These boats were wide at the top but narrowed to a point like a canoe at the bottom, and since the bottom was not 4 tefachim wide, its walls lose their status as legal partitions, as mechitzos, and the walls above are considered mechitza tzluya, a suspended wall, which is not considered a legal partition. Therefore, the boat is considered Karmelis and not a Rosh Hashanah. Rav Huna continues that the boat would have the status of Rosh Hashanah if the four tefachim width of the walls was within three tefachim of the bottom of the boat, which would raise the base of the ship through the principle of Lavud. Alternatively, says Rav Huna, one could fill the base of his boat with reeds and willow branches until the point where the boat widens to four tefachim. So the bird caller, who could only carry his cawing raven Daladamas in the small boat's formation, failed to turn it into a Shusi Yachid by extending its walls downwards, which reminds Rav Nachman challenged Rav Huna, suggesting that the principle of good Achiz Mechitzasa, extending the walls downwards, should apply, which legally extends the walls of the boat down to the ground below so that they are not legally considered suspended. Since the top of the boat's width is four tefachim wide, the principle of good Achiz would extend the walls down at that width, giving the boat a status of Rosh Hashanah and not a Karmelis. So the bird caller could only carry his cawing raven Daladamas in the small boat's formation, failed to turn it into Rosh Hashanah by extending its walls downwards, so he made an Erev together with another boat. Which reminds us, Rasafa clarifies that in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis that stated that it's permitted to carry between ships that are tied together was referring to a case where the ships have different owners, and the Mishnah is coming to teach that it's permitted to make an Erev. The Gemara brings a braisa to support Rav Safa that states that in the case of two ships tied together, their owners may make an Erev and carry between the boats. If the boats were to be separated, then the Erev would be negated. If they are once again tied together, whether inadvertently, deliberately, unwillingly, or accidentally, then the Erev is automatically reestablished and it is permitted to carry between them. Daf Kuf Beis. So the symbol for Kuf Beis is a caveman. So here goes. The caveman, that means we're on Daf Kuf Beis. The caveman who remembered it was Shabbos after he threw his ball of clay, which reminds us, the final admission in the Perek states that if one threw an object and then remembered it was Shabbos after it left his hand before it landed, and another person caught it, or a dog caught it, or it got burned before it landed, he's patur from bringing a chatas. Similarly, if one threw an object with the intent to injure a person or an animal, which he would then be liable for causing a bruise on Shabbos, and then remembered it was Shabbos after it left his hand, he is patur. The Mishnah concludes with a call that all who are liable for a chatas are not liable unless the beginning and the completion of their action was done b'shogeg. So the caveman remembered it was Shabbos after he threw his ball of clay, carried it back to the cave two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, and two amos b'shogeg. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas amoraim in a case where one transports an object two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, and then two amos b'shogeg. Rava says he's patur, whereas Rava says he is chayiv. Just want to point a correction here from yesterday. The Gemara concludes that there is no argument, and Rava are discussing two different cases. Rava says that in the case where one carries the object, he's patur, and even according to Raman Gamliel, who holds ein yedil chetzi shir, there is no awareness for a half measure, and therefore two half measures combined to make one chayiv. This principle only applies in a case where one wrote one letter b'shogeg, became aware of his sin, and then wrote a second letter b'shogeg. Since the second letter was also written b'shogeg, Rav Gamliel holds that he's liable. In our case, though, the person is completing the four amos b'mezid, and therefore he is not liable for a chatas. Rava says that in a case where the person threw the object, he is liable, and even the Rabbanan who hold of yesh yediyah l'chatzishir would say he is liable. In the case of the writing, the writer was in control in choosing to write the second letter. Therefore, his forgetting that in Shabbos renders the writing a separate act, and the two writings do not combine to make him chayiv. Here, however, in the case of throwing the object, he's no longer in control of retrieving the object, and therefore the entire transfer is regarded as one act b'shogeg. So the caveman remembered it was Shabbos after he threw his ball of clay, carried it back to the cave two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, and two amos b'shogeg to seal a small hole in his wall. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the Perek of Habona states that one is liable for the Malacha Habona for building if he builds even a kolshu, even a minimal amount. The Gemara asks, what use is building a minimal amount? And after rejecting two answers, concludes with the opinion of Achabar Yaakov, who said that someone with a large home who has a hole in the wall will seal it with clay. And a similar thing was done in the construction of the Mishkan when a craftsman would pour molten lead into a small hole in a beam that a worm had bored. Daf Kuf Gimel. So the Simra Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. And I'm actually going to do a bit of a fix here. I wasn't so happy with the Simon. And then I got input from a group of Zichru members from Woodmere, New York. They actually like to be known as the Woodmere Warriors of Zichru. I want to thank these Woodmere Warriors for their change here. So the Simon now is going to be the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging it on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel, showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails to spell Shem instead of Shimon. So once again, in slow motion. The goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi kugel. Yerushalmi kugel, that means we're on Daf Kuf Gimel. The goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi kugel, which reminds us in the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel stated, the one who strikes with a hammer on an anvil while working is chayiv, because he is like one who improves the work he is doing. The Gemara seeks to understand what act is he doing that makes him liable, and brings up Abai and Rav who both say that banging a hammer on an anvil is considered a malacha, as this is what those who pounded the sheets of gold did for the Mishkan. Rashi explains that after every three strikes on the sheet done to thin them, the smiths would strike once on an anvil to ensure the surface of the hammer remained smooth and would not puncture the sheets. He adds that coin manufacturers in his own locales did this. So the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi kugel showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails, which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states that one who writes two letters with either his right or left hand is chayiv. The Gemara asks why one is chayiv for writing with his left hand, since it's not the normal manner for writing. Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests that the mission is referring to a left-handed person, but this is rejected because then he should not be liable for writing with his right hand. So Abai answers that the mission is dealing with an ambidextrous person. The Rif asks, why then is this mission not obvious? He explains that Abai is referring to someone who favors one hand but is somewhat proficient with the other. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Yaakov's daughter, said the author of the mission is Rabbi Yosu, who said that one who writes two letters is chayiv because of making a roshem, a marking. Since making mere marks can be done perfectly well with the left hand, it is a normal manner to also use one's left hand, and therefore he is chayiv. So the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi kugel showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails to spell Shem instead of Shimon. Which reminds us, in the same mission regarding the Malach of Ksiva, writing, Rabbi Yehuda states that we find a short word that is part of a long word, such as Shem from Shimon or Shmuel, Noach from Nachor, Dan from Daniel, and Gad from Gadiel. Rashi explains Rabbi Yehuda is coming to teach that even though the writer did not complete the word he intended, he is chayiv if the letters he wrote comprise a short word. The Gemara asks how one can be chayiv for writing Shem from Shimon, since the mem from Shem is closed, it's sasim, and the mem from Shimon is open, it's pesuch. Rav Chisa says that this teaches that if a sofer wrote a closed letter as an open letter, it is valid. All right, now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that one is chayiv for bone, even a kol shehu? That's on daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that adding one letter to complete a sefer from Tanakh, one is chayiv? That's on daf Kuf Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have machlokes regarding how to draw water onto a ship? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that striking a hammer on an anvil is a malacha? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have a question regarding whether one is chayiv if he throws dirt into a tent fucking pit? That's on daf Tzadi Tes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn the meaning behind the letters of the Aleph Beis? That's on daf Kuf Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that Rav Nachman says one should apply the principle of good achis to the boats of Meishan to give them the din of Roshusi Yachid? That's on daf Kuf Olav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have a machlokas regarding the shape of the crushing? That's on daf Tzadiches. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that one is chayiv for writing with his right or left hand? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good. And final question number 10. Which daf do we learn that one can make an error with two ships that have different owners? That's on daf Kufav. Good. Now 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we have a machlokas regarding which tree was the Eitz Hadas? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn why Beis Hillel says one should put a wet napkin on a cushion and not on the table? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. And final question number 3. Which daf do we learn that Kosh Baruch Hu resides in the Dalet Amos of Halacha? That's on daf Ches. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.